Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, welcome to the Horse Hour podcast. I'm Amy Stevenson. Have you ever wondered, what is colic? Well, Jo Southers joins us today. She's a surgeon at B&W Equine Vets, and she's going to explain to us what is colic, what are the signs, what are the symptoms, what's the treatment if your horse is suffering from colic, and on top of that, how can we prevent it, or even can we prevent it? This is Horse Hour. We've got a lovely guest today. Her name is Jo Southers, and she's a surgeon at B&W Equine Vets. How are you, Jo?
Yeah, good. Thank you, Amy. Nice to meet you.
Thank you so much for joining us. I know that you're really, really busy in and out of patients and horses, and it's crazy that you guys are so busy at the moment.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's great for us. It's obviously not always so great for our patients, but often this time of year can be a little bit quieter because people are often not sort of gearing up for the season. But no, we're keeping busy, which is good.
I love that you call them patients. Do you talk to them?
We do a little bit, yeah. No, we do. They're a big part of what we do. It's why we do our job. So you get reward when horses improve, when you treat them. That's one of the nice things of the job. And also it's interacting with their owners, because we're fully aware about how much the horses mean to their owners.
Yeah, they're the world. They're their best friends. They're their pets. They're their job as well. Well, today you're kind enough to explain to us about colic, because I'm hearing this word all the time. When I first got my horse Blackjack, people said, you know, you've got to make sure they don't go down. These are the three things they said. They say they don't go down in the stable, they don't colic, and you make sure that they can get up. And I was thinking, as a new horse owner, well, what do you mean go down in the stable? Like, horses lie down, don't they? And then I'm really nervous and worried about this word colic. So I'm really hoping that you can explain to us, what is colic?
So colic actually is a big umbrella term that includes all sorts of things, because basically it's a term that means any form of abdominal pain. And so it can be caused by a huge range of different conditions, but the horse is the way the horse expresses itself when it has abdominal pain. And those signs can be from very mild colic signs. So, for example, the horse just turning up its lip or pawing at the ground occasionally, looking at its side, to the horse being violently painful, thrashing around, rolling, not wanting to get up at all. And so there's a huge range of both clinical signs and conditions that can cause colic symptoms, and actually even it's not just necessarily the abdomen, but occasionally you'll have horses that show colic signs either with chest pain or reproductive pain. So it's a big umbrella term for any form of abdominal pain, and therefore I think there's quite a lot of fear about it, because there are some more serious causes of colic, but there are also some very mild causes of colic as well.
That's really interesting. So it's not, colic isn't a disease in itself then that we can prevent or cure. It's a bit like just having, I say this in a quite a light term, but having a tummy ache until we then dig a bit deeper and really work out what the problem is.
Absolutely. So when we see a horse that's displaying signs of colic, so signs of abdominal pain, the next step for us is to say, well, how serious is this pain, and also to some extent what is causing the pain, and so we can use various tests to differentiate between between different types of colic.
I've got to ask you, Jo, there's this horrific noise in the background that sounds like it's
builders in.
Oh, is that what it is? Oh, no. Gosh, I'm relieved that it's builders. That's fine. I was more worried that you were sawing off a horse's leg.
No, we have got builders in. No, we're having new offices put in. So it's just nice. Office buildings. Yeah.
Okay. So back to the colic then. I have heard a theory that if a horse is showing symptoms of colic and it's down, you need to get it up and get it walking. Is that true? Because in my head I'm thinking, well, if it's severe, something really severe, an internal damage, surely getting the horse up and walking is going to hurt them even more.
So I think the first thing to say, so historically people would absolutely shouldn't let the horse roll, and you should get it up and you should walk it round. Now, it because there's different causes of colic, different horses respond differently to different treatments. The most important thing when a horse is colicking is that you and the horse remain safe. And so if the horse wants to go down and will lie quietly, or even if it's thrashing around, it is safer often in its stable than on the walking around a concrete yard, for example. Mm-hmm. So the most important thing is that horse remains safe. Now, actually walking them for some types of colic can cause the guts to move around a little bit, and can, by doing a bit of exercise, can increase the way their guts move. But for other types of colic, actually the horse just wants to lie down or roll, and it's not a problem for them to lie down or roll. So actually, until a vet has maybe looked at a horse, if it wants to be down all the time, I wouldn't be forcing it up, and I wouldn't be forcing it to walk round. Now, if it's more mild signs and the horse will walk round without trying to go down, then a little bit of walking is not a problem, but I wouldn't march it round all day, because a bit like us, if we had a tummy ache, we wouldn't want to be walked and walked and walked and walked. But a little bit of walking can occasionally help ease it. So there's no right or wrong answer with that, but certainly people shouldn't feel that they have to get in with a painful horse and make it walk round if it doesn't want to.
Oh, good, because we're told that we shouldn't put our human emotions on a horse, but like you said, I'd feel bad. If I have tummy ache, the last thing I want to do is be walking anywhere. Although saying that, you know, even doctors say that it's good to keep the exercise going, because that helps movement and that can make them feel a bit better.
Yeah, and so because unfortunately there's no hard and fast rule, because as I say, colic is just the sign of pain. At some colics, mild ones, and some horses will respond to a little bit of walking. Others are not safe to walk. So we would advise people to make sure that they and their horse are safe and as comfortable as possible before the horse is examined by a vet. And that may be that either they're in a sand school so that they can't damage themselves, or they stay in their stable. And if they will just gently walk around, for example, the sand school, that's fine, but not, they don't need to be marched round and round.
So you explained then that there's different types of colic, and you know, some mild, some really strong. Is there anything that we can tell if the horse is going to go down, if the horse is going to roll and going to colic, so that we can phone you straight away rather than waiting until it's at its worst?
So absolutely. So the mild, one of the big things that we look for is how the signs of pain that the horse is demonstrating. So if the horse is just standing up, occasionally looking at its flank, it's maybe not eating that much. Those are cases where it's a bit safer to you can give us a ring and we can have a chat about it, and we'd certainly probably want to still come out and see the horse, but we wouldn't be quite so worried. In a horse that's lying down, rolling lots, doesn't want to, is going up and down all the time, we definitely need to see those straight away.
Okay, and what can cause colic then? Which is almost like a never-ending question, because you've got so many abdominal issues, but the main things.
The main things. So the most common things, horses can, one of the very common causes of colic is something called an impaction. So horses have feet and feet of gut. It's quite common if they're moving around less or on stable rest, and they can get food that blocks their large intestine at a curve called the pelvic flexure, and there's a blockage basically where the food becomes, rather than moving through, there becomes a soft blockage, and horses will pass less droppings and will have an impaction. That's one of the common causes of colic. Another common cause of colic is something we call spasmodic colic, which is where the guts move a bit more than normal. So they're called what we call hypermotile, and a horse may have slightly soft droppings. They can also get what we call a displacement, where the guts shift into a slightly different position than they should do and fill slightly with gas. And that gas distension and the fact that the intestine is sitting in slightly in the incorrect position can cause a horse to colic. And then there are more severe causes of colic where the blood supply to the gut is affected. So either where the gut twists on itself, so that's the large colon that can twist on itself, or where the small intestine can either get trapped somewhere, which blocks the blood supply to it, or can get wrapped up in something, and that again can block the blood supply to it. And those are the more serious causes of colic that we worry about.
So it's a lot of it's to do with the gut then, and just making sure that everything's moving through properly. The things that we can do to keep the gut shifting and keep it moving in its normal rate.
Yeah, so absolutely. So people have looked at risk factors for various type of colic, so why colic occurs. And obviously it differs slightly for the different types of colic. But certainly for both large intestine impactions or displacements, horses are better off actually being turned out as much as possible. So the horse has evolved to live outside and graze for 16 hours a day. And obviously, because of the fact that we've domesticated them and we want to ride and compete them, we keep them in a different manner from that. But actually, quite a lot of types of colic are associated with horses being in more of the time. And so turnout and grass is generally good for colic. Regular exercise, that also is good for reducing the risk of a horse getting colic, because it increases the movement of the gut. And so that can be good for colic. The other thing is to make sure that horses have their teeth checked regularly, because certainly certain dental conditions will increase the risk that a horse colics. And also to make sure that there is a regular either worming regime or checking for certain different types of worms is undertaken regularly, because worms can also increase the risk of colic.
Great. Funnily enough, I've got a podcast coming out in a few weeks on worm counts and how to worm properly.
Great.
So we're working on that. We're also working on looking after the gut in terms of nutrients. So would you recommend nutrients to help with the gut balance?
When you say nutrients, what do you mean? Because, I mean, obviously all different types of food contains different types of nutrients. So do you mean
the
supplementation?
Yeah, because I was in a tack shop the other day and just bombarded with so many different types of supplements, and I happened to see one that said gut, and it's a gut balancer. Now I don't know if my horse needs a gut balancer or not. I'm giving him balancing feeds, but I feel like there's so much out there. Should we be being proactive and giving our horses these extra supplements?
I think actually in most cases, one of the things that's really important is that horses have access to long fibre. So horses have been evolved to either graze and eat grass, or to continually graze hay and have hay or haylage. And I think having ad lib hay or haylage or and particularly grazing is much more important than a supplement for the gut. And so most horses would not need a gut supplement. They would need good quality hay or haylage be turned out, but actually a supplement shouldn't affect the gut. It shouldn't be required, actually, is what I should say. It shouldn't be required.
That's
in most
interesting.
Cases.
So we don't need to, unless our nutritionists have said you absolutely need a supplement, because I was so tempted to go out and buy all those supplements and think that I was doing the right thing for Blackjack, when actually maybe, you know, as long as he's got the hay, as long as he can eat all the time and he's grazing all the time, then that should be fine. So for people that keep their horses in the stable, then we've talked about this frequently, there should always be continuous supply of hay for them to be able to eat all the time.
Absolutely. So I would love my horse to be able to go out all the time, but unfortunately this time of year the farmer just won't let us turn him out. So I know that it would be better for him to be out. So the way I manage that is that when he's in, he has constant supply of hay or haylage. He's got two areas that he can access it, one by the door and one another part of the stable. So wherever he is, he's got access. One's on the floor, so he stretches his head down, which is more similar to grazing. He also in the day goes out into a yard with hay in the yard so he can move around a little bit more. But no, it's, I fully appreciate it's sometimes really difficult to turn horses out when you're stuck in a, not stuck in a livery yard, but when you're not in control of their of the grazing available. But it's about making sure they have access, continuous access to ad lib hay or haylage, is really important. And then feeding a good quality balanced feed that makes sure they've got access to all the vitamins and minerals that they need as well.
Well, that's good. So those are quite reasonable things that we can do to prevent colic. But a big question and a big worry that I've had is if your horse is having a severe case of colic, what is the time limit? How long have we got realistically before they're really hurting and we're causing serious damage?
So unfortunately, when they have got very serious colic, if the blood supply is cut off to the gut, that gut will die very quickly. And that's when the horse will suddenly become very, very painful. And with those cases where there is the blood supply to the gut is cut off, you need to see their horses as soon as possible to increase their chances of survival. Now, the big thing to say is that firstly, about 80 to 90% of colics are not that sort of colic. So 80 to 90% of colics we can manage medically, which don't require surgery. And it's only a real minority of colic cases that have got, as I say, either a twisted gut or the small intestine is trapped somewhere that require surgery.
That's good.
And then, which is really good. So most colic, so I think sometimes the fear of colic is almost over amplified because of the fear of this minority, as I say, of kind of 10 to 20% of cases that require surgery, whereas the majority are, we're able to give some pain relief, we may give them some fluids and things, but then they're fine. And then if you look at the horses that do require surgery, as long as we see them relatively quickly after they start to colic, from a survival point of view, if we look at all the horses that we take to surgery in big studies that have looked at lots of horses that have had colic surgery, about 85% of horses will survive to being discharged from the hospital, so most horses, and then about 75% are alive 1 year post-surgery, and then about 65% are alive 2 years post-surgery. So actually, horses that have colic surgery often do really well. And, you know, as I say, it's the majority of cases. So it's something to be, I guess, it is a concern if your horse gets a more serious type of colic, but there are absolutely things we can do. And in most cases, horses don't need surgery to correct colic.
Oh, that's really good. Because we worry about our horses in the slightest thing sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's nice that, one, we can pick up the phone and phone you, because that's it's okay to phone you, isn't it? Because I always worry that you guys are so busy and I don't want to bother.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You and sometimes I think, okay, well, I know something's not right, but I know that it's not severe enough that I need to call you out, but I just need a little bit of advice on the phone.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So we're always here for advice on the phone, and we'd far rather chat to clients and discuss what's happening with them, because sometimes on the phone we can decide whether we need to see a horse. And actually, with a colic horse, I would always rather see it, because we can look at things that you guys can't see. So obviously, you can say that your horse is slightly uncomfortable, but what we'll then do when we examine it is that we then look at the horse's heart rate, we look at their respiratory rate, we feel their pulse, we will put a hand inside and have a feel of the horse's intestines. So put a hand up the horse's rectum or bottom and have a good feel. We'll have a listen to their gut sounds. And using those tests, we can then decide what treatment is best to administer. We'll sometimes take a blood sample if we may be worried about the horse either being a bit dehydrated or want to look at their liver or their kidney function. So there's lots that we can do in a horse that is not quite right or uncomfortable. And so, yeah, absolutely pick up the phone, have a chat with us, and then we can, as I say, always come out and assess the horse completely for you and make sure there's nothing untoward.
You just touched on water there and a horse being dehydrated. So there's this old saying, you can take a horse to water, but you can't make it drink it. I'm presuming that water will help flush through anything in the gut as well, so we need to make sure that our horse has lots of water all the time.
Absolutely. So it's really important horses have access to ad lib water. And the other thing, it's rare, but the other thing is in the winter when it's really cold, is to make sure, one, that the horse hasn't got ice on the water. And some horses are a bit fussy and won't drink really icy water, so it's good to then, in those cases, if you can, to provide slightly more tepid water if your horse is a horse that's prone to getting impactions. Now, lots of horses are fine with very chilled water, but if your horse has had an impaction before, that's one of the things that we'll sometimes advise clients to do. So yeah, access to good clean water is really, continuous access to good clean water is really important.
I've seen some people put a little bit of warm water, so they take down a flask to the yard and when they feed their horses in the evening, they put a bit of warm water in rather than cold water. Is that okay?
Yeah, no, that's good, because as I say, that just takes the chill off the water. Yeah. And then the horse is more, it's less likely to freeze, and secondly, the horse is more likely to drink it. So that's absolutely fine to do, and probably not, is a good idea.
And I guess it's making sure that when you finish riding, that the horse has water straight away. Because things like that you don't think about, really. You're untacking and the horse, you've been out for 3 hours, and then the horse needs some water, and that will, like I said earlier, flush through anything and prevent any problems.
Yeah, so it's important, either if you're out riding, that when your horse gets back, it has access to water, or if your horse is transported, again, that they have access to water once they've finished being transported, or if it's a really long journey, to make sure that they have regular stops and access to water. So yeah, absolutely, it's, that's important.
It sounds like such a basic thing, and I know we're talking about what should be basic healthcare for horses, but I have seen people cut off the fencing the wrong side of the water trough, so that they've fenced in their horses and they can't get to the water, and you're thinking, gosh, come on, like, this is, they need, it's so important for them, not just because of the dehydration, but because it helps with their stomach and helps with all the other things inside them.
Absolutely.
So do you have any other advice for us then, for when it comes to colic and our worries about it? Do you hear any myths that we can kind of get rid of?
So certainly people have myths about the fact that if a horse rolls, it will twist its gut. So horses don't get a twisted gut just because they rolled in the stable. So that's something that I think sometimes people say, if the horse is colicking and it rolls, it will twist its gut. And actually, generally, the horse is rolling because it's uncomfortable, and what's happened to the gut has already happened. So I think that's certainly a myth that people fear. I think also, as I said, most colic is relatively manageable and treatable, and so it's only a minority of cases that need to have surgery. But those surgical cases that we do see, the quicker we can see them, the better, because they can have really good survival rates if we see them soon. That's sort of the basic things. I mean, it's good that you're talking about worms and worming, because that's certainly something that is really, again, an important thing, because there's various types of colic that are at increased risk following worms and worming.
Oh, really? We're looking at worm counts now. And I interviewed Westgate Labs, and they talked us through the process of how to do a worm count rather than just putting the horses on a worming program. So is it the antibiotics or the wormers that affect the gut and could create colic, or is it the worms that could create colic?
No, it's actually the worms themselves. And it's important both to do fecal worm egg counts, but also the other thing is that fecal worm egg counts won't pick up all the types of worms. So it's important as well as that to also look for tapeworm, which aren't picked up on a fecal worm egg count. So absolutely, it's great to do the fecal worm egg counts, and that can reduce the amount of drugs that you're having to use, which can reduce resistance. But also, it's important to look for whether the horse has tapeworm. And we can either just treat for tapeworm, or there are tests that you can do to look as to see whether the horse has tapeworm. And it's important to assess and or treat for all types of worms. Mm.
Do mares tend to struggle more with abdominal pain and abdominal issues than geldings do? I'm thinking, you know, I'm a woman and we have issues every month. I'm thinking, do they suffer with that?
No, not really, actually. So the one type of colic that mares are more likely to get is a type of colic called large colon torsion, which is more common in brood mares. And they get it, the colon's this big U-shaped structure in the abdomen. It can fill up to about 60 litres of fluid, so it's huge. But what can happen once a mare has just foaled is there's more potential space in the abdomen for it to move around. Mm. And also they often, in the immediate post-foaling period, the mare's going through a lot of changes, often in management diet, and she's got the foal at foot. And so those mares are at increased risk of the colon flipping round on itself and twisting and getting a large colon torsion. So that's something that brood mares are definitely more at risk of. But actually, on a regular monthly basis, no, horses don't tend to have monthly colic pain.
Well, you know, a very basic a human analogy there, but you never know, do you?
No.
If you've got a broodmare then and you're worried that they might have this torsion, what can we do to kind of prevent it?
So again, sometimes you can't prevent it, but it's things making sure they have regular dental work. We've shown that in brood mares, it's been shown that horses that have dental issues and drop their feed are at more risk of having a colon torsion. Having access to the same grass and being turned out is also important. Making sure your brood mare's wormed regularly, and that the management changes that occur around foaling and sometimes have to occur around foaling are kept to a minimum. Unfortunately, there are some horses that are predisposed to having issues with their large colon. And so whilst you can do all the right management things, people shouldn't feel guilty if their horse gets colic. I think that's another thing actually to be aware of, is that sometimes you can do everything right and your horse will still get colic. And I think sometimes people try and think, oh, what have I done wrong? And it's not necessarily at all something that you've done wrong. It's just that your horse is prone to colic. And actually, to some extent, the horse's guts are really not very well designed, in that they've got minimal attachments, so they can flip round and move around into silly places. They can get trapped in places, and in a lot of cases it's nothing that anyone could have done to stop that happening. So I think it's important for people to be aware of that and not feel guilty if their horse does get colic, as long as they followed all the basic kind of management things that we would recommend.
Yeah, that's really nice to hear, because we do blame ourselves a lot.
Absolutely.
It's always our fault.
yeah.
Are there any particular breeds or ages that tend to be more prone to colic? So is it the youngsters, is it the older horses, or is it particular breeds?
No, well, again, different breeds and different ages can be prone to different types of colic, and it's where, again, it's a bit confusing that colic is this big umbrella term. But large colon displacements or torsions, which is the big part of the intestine that can move around, that's much more common in bigger horses, so draft horses, warm blood horses, big horses, where there's potentially that they've got more space in the abdomen or whatever. With regards to age, older horses sometimes can have more dental issues, and they can have more problems with occasionally more problems with impactions because of that. They can also get something, slightly older horses are slightly more predisposed to a type of colic that's caused by something called a lipoma, which is a fatty lump that develops on a stalk. And that can, it's like a dogs get fatty lumps under their skin. Horses get them sometimes dangling from a stalk in their abdomen, and in lots of cases, it causes them no problems at all. But when it does cause a problem is when that fatty lump wraps itself around the intestine so that the stalk that it's on almost acts like an elastic band around the intestine and cuts off its blood supply. And that's something that we'll see more commonly in older horses because it takes time for that to develop. It's not a very common cause of colic because it's one of the causes of surgical colic. And so it is quite rare, but we would see that more in older horses.
I think the hard thing for us is that we only get to see the outside of the horse. I'd love to have a big imagery system, you know, at the field, and every day I'll walk him through and say, there you go, Blackjack, there's your MOT. But we're looking at the things that are going on in the inside from the outside. It's almost impossible.
Absolutely. And I think that's where it's... because actually, if you think about colic, and if you go from the front of the horse to the back of the horse, for example, so you go down the esophagus, horses can get choke, and that can cause them to be uncomfortable. So that's where the esophagus gets blocked with food material, and they can have food coming down their nose. And then you go into, from the esophagus, you go into the stomach, and horses can have stomach issues that can cause them to have colic. And then you go from the stomach to the small intestine, and then from the small intestine to the large intestine. So there's quite a lot of bits of the gut that can be involved, and they all have slightly different reasons for having a problem. And so colic is such an umbrella term, but there's all sorts of bits of the horse's abdomen that can cause them to have colic. And I mean, even for vets, when we're seeing horses, we're trying to differentiate between what's causing the colic and try and tease it out. Is it whereabouts in the intestine is affected, and how badly has it been affected? As I say, most cases will respond to us just giving them some pain relief, and if we think they've got an impaction so that the food's just not moving along very well, we'll also put a tube up their nose and give them some fluids into the stomach, which can help soften things and move everything along.
The automatic thought for me would be, if it's a child and it's feeling a bit unwell, you'd give it Calpol. If I had a headache or I had a bit of a tummy ache, I'd automatically have paracetamol. So would you then automatically think, oh, I'll just give him a bit of bute and maybe that'll make him feel a bit better? But I'm guessing you probably shouldn't do that.
No, I think I would recommend that the horse is first seen by a vet, because before you give them the bute, because the bute can mask some colic signs. And I think also some occasionally we'll advise it, but most of the time we want to be able to assess the horse and see whether we need to do anything else other than the pain relief. And also when the horse is slightly colicky, actually, sometimes it's get better that pain relief is given via an injection rather than with food or into the mouth. Mm. So I would recommend that the horse is assessed by a vet who can then give them either injectable bute, or there's other similar painkillers, one of which is called flunixin, or there's various ones that we can inject into the horse to provide them with pain relief. So yeah, I probably wouldn't straight off give them some bute, because actually that could, if you give the horse bute and that provides them with some pain relief, that can also mask the signs and slow you getting the vet out to come and look at the horse.
Yeah, I must say these are things that I've heard over the years that people have wanted to do or have done, and it's only through love of their horse, because they wanted to make
Absolutely.
The horse feel easier and feel a bit more comfortable, but ultimately leave them, phone you, get you out, and then you can make sure and assess what really is the problem. Because I had no idea that colic was such a broad term, and actually I thought it was just the actual stomach and there was a serious issue in there, but it could be anywhere within that section.
Absolutely. And including also horses will colic if they sometimes mildly colic if they have liver disease, occasionally, as we've sort of touched on, mares with uterine or ovarian pain, if they have a twisted uterus, which is again very rare, but it can be all sorts of things within the abdomen. And so it's trying to tease out what is causing the colic, and also how serious is it? And we have various things that we look for when we're doing both of those things.
Well, Jo, thank you so much for your time today. I know that you're really busy and you've got patients, horses lined up at the moment waiting for you. So thank you for giving us an insight into colic. And you'll be able to find out more information on our website, horsehour.co.uk. We can follow you on Twitter, can't we?
Yes, absolutely.
You're at BW Equine Vets. We can follow you there and on Facebook and on Instagram. So thank you very, very much for your time today.
No worries. Thanks a lot, Amy. Lovely to speak to you.
See you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. We have a whole series of veterinary advice episodes on the Horse Hour podcast. The vets from B&W Equine Vets come on every month and explain to us different diseases and the signs, symptoms, and then how we can treat them as well. Some previous episodes include gastric ulcers, embryo transfer, even equine dentistry. So there's lots for you to catch up on. If you haven't had a chance, just head to our website, horsehour.co.uk. And of course, we have our episodes on stories and journeys from professional riders in the industry. And we will be speaking to lots of pro riders soon as the eventing season's just about to start. There's lots coming up this year. I'm really excited about it, including the National Dressage Championships, which are in April. So we're looking forward to going there and bringing you live updates on Twitter and on Facebook and on Instagram. You'll be able to catch everything on our website, horsehour.co.uk, and as always on Twitter, which is at horsehour, and the same for Facebook and Instagram. I hope you have a really good week, and I'll speak to you soon.
You've been listening to Horse Hour. Join the community on Twitter, Mondays, 8 p.m. UK time, 3 p.m. Eastern, by using the hashtag horsehour. Follow Amy at AmyStevenson1 and subscribe to us on Acast, iTunes, Stitcher and Player FM.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.